All your friends are probably talking about how much money they're making by investing in Tesla or this other hot stock. This should not be your focus right now. If you have any sort of high interest debt, so these are things like credit cards or hard money loans, if you have this type of high interest debt, then your sole focus in the beginning right now should be to...
What's up, everybody? I am Jaspreet Singh, and welcome to The Minority Mindset.
Managing your money in a way that's going to build you wealth is not always intuitive, and it can be very overwhelming with all the information out there. And I think a lot of people just don't know where to start. I mean, should you pay down your debt or should you be investing? And if you should be investing, where should you be investing your money? Should you open up a credit card or should you ask for a raise? So that's why in this video, I want to go over 10 things that you and everybody need to understand. That way you can build a solid foundation for your money. If you're in a place where you're earning money, but you feel financially stuck because you just don't know what to do with your money to get to the next level, you are not alone. The inspiration for this video came from a conversation I had with my friend just a week ago, because we were talking about money and he was telling me about how when he got his first job, which wasn't that long ago, he really had no clue where to start with his money. And he came onto our channel and he was still kind of overwhelmed because he didn't know where to start. So I figured, okay, this would be a good opportunity for me to go out there and really just put out a video that will lay out the foundation of how to use your money from A to Z. This video is going to be a little bit different than my other videos because I don't have a script. I just have the 10 different things that I'm going to be talking about, and everything else is just me. So I'm about to grab my whiteboard, that way I can draw it all out. But before we get into that, I need you to do me a quick favor and smash that thumbs up button below, because the way the YouTube algorithm works, if you do not smash that thumbs up button, then YouTube is much less likely to show you and other people our financial news and education videos. The very first thing you gotta do before you worry about investing your money or budgeting your money or doing anything is you gotta calculate and figure out how much money is coming in and how much money is going out. If you do not know how much money you have coming in and out, you are just gonna be one big question mark when it comes to money. So I want you to pull out a piece of paper, pull out your pay stubs, pull out your credit card statements and your bank statements, look at how much money you have coming in every single month, and then look at how much money is going out. This is gonna give you a good idea of just kind of a broad picture overview of where your finances are right now. The reason this is so important to start with is because the majority of people in America are living a life where they have a dollar coming in, and for every dollar that comes in, they have $1.20 going out, because they're financing their life with credit cards and lines of credit and debt. The crazy thing is that there's a lot of people that don't actually realize that they're living like this, because they're just making the minimum payments on all their cards and their debt payments. And so they're making money and they're making the payments thinking that everything is okay, because they never actually take a look at their finances. So what I want you to do is literally just take a piece of paper and draw three columns on it. Draw one with how much money is coming in, so your income. Draw one with how much money is going out, so this is your expenses. And then draw one with where else this money is going. So are you investing? Are you saving? Where else is your money going? Maybe it's charity. You gotta know exactly where this money is going. Once you got that piece of paper that shows where all of your money is going, keep it, because you're going to be looking at that every single month, because I want you to do this financial analysis of your money every month. That way you can see how you're improving on your finances. I used to guest teach in Detroit public schools. I love teaching. And I used to go to these schools to talk to the kids about entrepreneurship and just general money management. And one time I asked the class, how many of you kids are working a job right now? And almost every kid in the class raised their hand. And then the next question I asked them was, how many of you have a bank account? And out of all these kids that had their hands up, there was like two or three that maybe kept their hands up. They had all these kids that were going to work getting a paycheck, but they didn't have a bank account. So what they did was they would get this physical check from their job, and then they would go to the liquor store, pay the liquor store owner 10% of their check to get their cash. So if you made $100, your liquor store owner is gonna take 10 bucks, so you got 90 bucks left. And then on the way out, you're gonna buy chips, you're gonna buy pop, you're gonna buy a bunch of other dumb things, and then by the time you're out, half your paycheck is gonna be gone. Banks are in the business of making loans, okay? The way they make money is by keeping you in debt. You need to understand that. This doesn't always mean that you should just avoid banks or never use them. That means you need to know how banks work. That way you can use banks to your advantage. You need to have at least two different bank accounts. You want to have a checking account and you want to have a savings account. They have two different purposes because they have two different uses. These two are the bare minimum. Once you get more involved on the investing side of things, you might open up a third bank account to hold your cash for your investments, but let's just focus on these two for now. So your checking account is the money that you're gonna be using for spending. So if you have a credit card or a debit card, this card is gonna be linked to your checking account because checking accounts let you do a lot more transactions in that bank account. So this checking account is the cash that you have to spend every single month. Your groceries, your rent, your shopping, all of that goes out of this account right here. Your savings account is your savings money. This is not the money that you use to go buy groceries on. The savings account is the money that you're either going to be saving for a big purchase or for your emergency fund. You should actually have two different savings accounts if you're going to have this emergency fund and you're saving for a big purchase like a down payment on a house because you don't want to commingle the two. You need to have an emergency savings account. This is the money that you use for emergencies only. So if you lose your job or if a tragedy happens, this is the money you have for that. This should be its own savings account. And if you're saving for something like a house or if you're saving for something big, that should have its own separate savings account. Checking accounts and savings accounts have different rules at banks. Like I was kind of mentioning earlier, you can do a lot more transactions in and out of a checking account than you can do with a savings account. So with the savings account, a bank might say you could only do 6 transactions a month. And if you do more than 6 transactions a month, just for an example, then they're going to charge you a fee. Savings accounts also sometimes pay you a higher interest on your money because the bank knows that the money isn't going to be leaving your savings account as much as it will your checking account. The tricky thing with that in the environment that we're in right now in this economy is that we are in a very low interest rate environment. So what that means is if you go out and take a loan, your loan is going to be a very low interest rate, which is good news if you're borrowing money for something good. But the downfall is your bank is going to pay you a very low interest rate on your savings. There used to be a time when banks would pay 2, 3, 4, 5% interest on your savings. Now, you'd be lucky if you get 1% interest on your savings. One thing that you can do here with your savings, and one thing that I do with my savings, is because I don't use my savings every day like I do my checking account, you can move your savings money into a high interest online savings account because these online banks have lower overhead fees because they don't have all these like retail branches everywhere. They don't have to pay for tellers and all of that. So they don't have all these retail fees, so they can pay you a higher interest on your savings. Now, it's not anything crazy. It's not gonna make up for an investment or anything like that, but it's better than what you're getting at most traditional banks. By the way, I'm going to be talking about a ton of different topics throughout this video. And if there's something that you want to learn more about, like high interest savings accounts, I'll put more resources for you in the description below. Okay, so you want to have a minimum of two different bank accounts, your checking account and your savings account. And what you want to do is when you get your money direct deposited into your bank account from your job, what you should do is create an automatic transfer that moves money from your checking account to your savings account automatically. That way, every single month, you have money being saved without you having to touch it. That way, you know, okay, I don't have extra money to spend because this money has already left your account and it's already been saved. That way, you can't accidentally spend this savings money on a brand new TV. Many banks offer features like this for free, so make sure you ask your bank. And you also want to make sure that your bank is not charging you a monthly maintenance fee. So my grandma, who doesn't really speak English, had a bank account with Bank of America for 15 years. And one day, this is actually not that long ago, I went to kind of look at her financial bank statements with her, and I found out that Bank of America was charging her, I think it was $15 a month as a monthly maintenance fee for doing nothing, essentially. So for the last, I don't know how many years, they were charging her $15 a month for no reason, and she kept paying it because she didn't know that there was alternatives out there. You do not need to pay a monthly maintenance fee just to use the bank account, okay? We are in a new digital age where these type of fees are just, you don't need to do that, okay? So make sure you do your research on your bank. Look for the different bank accounts that you can have. Create a way that when you get paid, you automatically have money moving to your savings account. And if you have a separate bank account for your investment cash, do the same thing for that. That way your money is automatically going to the places where it needs to be. And do not pay any fees that you do not need to pay. Third, let's talk about debt, because not all debt is the same. If you have any sort of high interest debt, so these are things like credit cards or hard money loans, if you have this type of high interest debt, then your sole focus in the beginning right now should be to pay off this high interest debt. All your friends are probably talking about how much money they're making by investing in Tesla or this other hot stock. This should not be your focus right now. Right now, the only thing that you should be doing with your extra money is paying down this debt. Because when you have this type of high interest debt, where you're paying 10, 12, 15% a year in interest, then your money is compounding and building wealth. Not for you, but for your credit card company. You need to pay this off as fast as possible and use every extra penny that you can to pay off this high interest debt. Do not worry about investing. Do not worry about doing anything else until you pay off this high interest debt. I mean, to be honest, you should not be going on vacation. You should not have a Netflix subscription. You should not be eating at restaurants if you have credit card debt. If you have this type of high interest credit card debt, you need to be laser focused to pay down this high interest debt first. So when it comes to debt, you want to get rid of it as fast as possible. And you want to stop fueling the thing that got you into this debt in the first place. If you cannot control your spending, get rid of your credit card until you can control your spending and until you can pay down this debt. The secret to building wealth is not by pinching pennies. It's by using your money strategically to buy things, assets, which are things that are going to make you more money. This is what investing is all about, and anybody who wants to build wealth has to invest their money. But just like how all debt isn't the same, all investing isn't the same. The first thing you want to do when it comes to investing is put aside some cash that you can use towards your wealth building fund. This is the money that you're going to use to make yourself wealthy by investing this money. The second thing you have to do is you got to ask yourself what your risk tolerance is. If you have any sort of low interest debt, so these are things like a car payment or a mortgage or student loans, one of the things that you can do to invest your money and get a guaranteed return is pay off your debt early. Because let's say you have student loans that's charging you 6% a year and you pay off your student loans 2 years early. That's 6% you're going to get on your money guaranteed during those 2 years, because that's 6% interest that you do not have to pay to the bank. This is the least risky way to invest your money because you're getting a guaranteed return on your money. If you don't have any sort of low interest debt or you want to take on a little bit more risk, then you can put your money into the market. Now, when I say put your money into the market, everybody assumes I mean that you need to go and start picking stocks. But the majority of people shouldn't actually be in the stock picking game. There are other ways that you can invest your money into the market without actually picking stocks, by investing in something called an ETF. An ETF is essentially a fund that gives you exposure to multiple different stocks. So now, instead of you going out and trying to find the best stock to invest in, you can invest in an ETF or a fund that's going to give you exposure to the entire stock market. Now, if the stock market goes up, your fund goes up. If the stock market goes down, your fund goes down. Or if you want to be a little bit more specific or technical, you can invest in an ETF that gives you exposure to the tech stocks, or an ETF that gives you exposure to healthcare stocks. So this is a way for you to now invest your money and get the returns that you get in the stock market without actually having to pick stocks. If you want to be more involved with your investments, then you can look at investing in something like individual stocks or real estate. Now, like I was saying before, the further you come down this, the more risk there is. Like, paying down debt has the least risk. Investing in an ETF has a little bit more risk, and investing in individual stocks or real estate has even more risk than that. But more risk comes with more potential. Not always more return, but more potential return, because you can invest in a company right before it goes big, or you can invest in real estate in a location where there's a lot of demand coming and there's a lot of developments coming, so the value of your real estate goes up and your rental values go up. Again, this is now going to depend on what your financial goals are, and you have to be honest with yourself. What kind of life do you want to live financially? If you really want to live large and do these lavish things, and all you're doing is just paying down debt with all of your extra cash, you are going to have a tough time getting there, because you're going to need to earn more money. Yeah, you also have the potential to lose more money because you're taking on more risk, but if you don't take that risk, then you don't have the opportunity to get towards your goals. You should also understand the different ways that you can make money through your investments. So when people invest in the stock market, most of the time their goal is to buy a stock today for, let's say, $100, and then 5 years from now or 10 years from now, sell that stock for $200 or $300 or whatever. So you're buying an investment today at a certain price, and you want to sell it at a much higher price in the future. With real estate, it's very different. You're buying real estate not to just flip it for a higher price. You're buying real estate now to get rental income. So you're creating passive income with real estate, because you can go out and buy a house or buy an apartment complex or something, and now you're going to have tenants living there, and these tenants are going to pay you rent every single month. So if you buy a property and you lease it out for $1,200 a month, you might make $700 a month in profit from that property every single month, as long as you have a tenant living there. So this can help create you passive income. You can do the same thing with stocks through dividends. sense, but a lot of times when people invest in stocks, they're looking for that appreciation. So they want to see that price growth. So you got to know what kind of goals you have when you are investing your money. We're about to switch gears to number 5. But if you do want to learn more about this investing and money management, we do have a free ebook on money management and investing that you can read for free when you sign up for our financial education emails, which are also free. You can get our free ebook and start reading our financial education emails by clicking the link up here or by clicking the link in the description below. Now, number 5, spending. When it comes to spending, the first thing you have to understand is the difference between an asset and a liability. An asset is something that puts money into your pocket. A liability is something that takes money away from your pocket. So now, when you're spending money, you gotta know what you're buying and you gotta know where your money is going. Is your spending taking all of your money away from your pocket, or is your spending bringing money back into your pocket? Most of the things that we buy are liabilities. So your clothes, your shoes, your cars, you know, everything that you're wearing and showing, these are all liabilities. Because when you spend $100 on a new shirt or you spend $40,000 on a brand new car, that money is gone. And if you try to sell that thing, you're not gonna get your money back. Like, even if you go out and you buy a brand new car today for $40,000 and you drive it around for a couple of years, when you go to sell it, you're not gonna get anywhere near the $40,000. And if you bought a brand new shirt for $100 today and you try to sell it, you're not gonna get $100 for that shirt. So liabilities are things that take money away. Assets are things that put money back into your pocket. These are what we just talked about, investments. So stock market investments, real estate investments, these are things that you buy for the purpose of making money and building wealth. If you really want to become wealthy, you got to be buying more assets than liabilities. The only way that you can do that is by spending less money on liabilities. That way you have more money to spend on assets. Right now, the majority of people are living paycheck to paycheck because all their money is going to liabilities, and then they have no money left over to buy assets. So what I want you to understand when it comes to spending now is if you are buying a liability, so if you're buying a car, you're buying anything that's not putting money back into your pocket, you are no longer allowed to finance it. Period. Okay. The only thing that you can consider financing here is your own home, but your car, your clothes, everything else like that, no more financing it. No more store credit cards because you don't have the money to buy it. No more paying 0% APR for something because you don't have the money to buy it. Now, I know what you're thinking. 0% APR, what's the big deal about that? You're not paying any interest. Yeah, but there's a reason why 0% APR is so profitable for businesses and banks. 0% APR works because they know that if you go into a monthly payment plan on something that's $1,000, so you're buying this brand new phone for $1,000 and you're gonna pay it off 0% APR for the next 1 or 2 years, well, what's gonna happen? That means you don't have $1,000 to buy the phone today, so you are going into debt to buy the phone, and the majority of people are not gonna pay it off in time, so now you're gonna get slapped with a big fine at the end of your 0% APR period because you didn't pay it off in time. And you also think that you have more money to spend right now because you didn't have the pain of $1,000 leaving your wallet today. So yeah, you might not be paying any interest on that money today, but you're also not feeling that pain of the money leaving your account. So you're more likely to go out and spend more money on liabilities that you shouldn't. Don't play that game. If it doesn't put money back into your pocket, buy it with cash and don't worry about it. And the way that you know what you can afford when it comes to liabilities is by following our rule of 5. If you cannot buy 5 of them, you cannot afford 1 of them. If you follow that rule when it comes to liabilities for things that you do not need to survive, you will have more cash to buy more assets, which are gonna put more money back into your pocket. Going along with spending, let's talk about credit cards. Depending on who you are and depending on your spending habits, credit cards can be your biggest enemy or your biggest ally. I love credit cards. I try to only make my purchases on credit cards because I get cash back, I get free perks, I get free rewards, and I get free purchase protection. So when I buy things, I buy it with my credit card because I get all these rewards, and I know that I'm always gonna pay my entire credit card balance in full every single month. That way I never have to pay a penny in interest. If you wanna use your credit card the right way, you need to first understand how your credit card company makes money. That way you can understand this, and that way you can use your credit card in a way that's gonna benefit you. So every time you swipe your credit card is gonna charge the store a fee for processing the payment. So if you go to Walmart and you check out with your Visa, now Visa is gonna charge Walmart a fee for processing this transaction and for processing this money. So every time you swipe your card, the store owner is gonna get charged a fee. They might charge your store 3%, which is why the credit card company can pay you 1-2% cash back. The second way your credit card company makes money is through APR. So if you don't pay off your credit card and you gotta pay a credit card company interest, then your credit card is gonna make a windfall because they're gonna get a crazy interest rate on money that you are not financing from your credit card. You never, ever, ever wanna get into the game of paying this APR for credit cards, okay? This is always a losing transaction. So if you're using a credit card, you need to treat it like a debit card, that way you're only buying things that you normally would with cash, and then pay off your entire credit card balance in full every month. That way you never have to pay a penny in interest. Now, if you're not gonna get charged an extra fee to use your credit card, you might as well use your credit card because your credit card is gonna charge the store a fee and then they give you a kickback for doing that. That's what your rewards are. So if you go to Walmart and you buy $100 worth of groceries and you swipe with your Visa, Visa might charge Walmart $3 to process this transaction. And if you use a Visa, they might pay you back $1.50 in cash back just for using their credit card. If you didn't use your credit card, you'd have to pay Walmart $100 in cash and you wouldn't get any cash back. But because you used your Visa, you got $1.50 back. But this only works if you understand how to use a credit card the right way and if you can control your spending. If you cannot control your spending and you don't think that this is gonna work for you because you are gonna overspend or you're not gonna pay off your credit card, then don't use a credit card. The rewards are not worth it. But if you know that you're never gonna pay a penny in interest because you're only gonna buy what you can afford and you will always pay off your entire balance in full every single month, then get a credit card. That way you can get your rewards. Once you get to this point, now you are really on your path to wealth, and now is when you wanna start thinking about how you're gonna protect your wealth and pass on your wealth. This is what estate planning is all about. Now, I am an attorney, which is why I wanna talk about this, but I am not your attorney, so if you do have specific legal questions, talk to a professional in your area. So the first thing when it comes to estate planning is you gotta think about, okay, when I die, because I know eventually everybody will die, it sucks to think about, but it's reality. When you die, what do you want to happen to your assets and your money? Who do you want to get it? So this is what a will is all about. A will essentially tells the world, okay, when I pass, this is what I want to happen with all of my money. You do not want to get into a situation where you die without a will and you have these assets, because now this is going to create fights within your family. It can create a whole bunch of issues, and you do not want the state to decide where your money goes. Another option is you can create a trust, which essentially tells the world what you want to happen with your money after you pass. But again, this is what a professional can help you with depending on your personal situation. So you need to have a will or trust. That way you can dictate how your assets are going to pass. Second, if you are building your wealth and you don't have this wealth built yet, you need to have some sort of life insurance in place to protect your family from a tragedy. The way life insurance works is if you were to unexpectedly die, then life insurance will come in and they will take care of your family financially because you're gonna buy this policy. So let's say you buy a $1 million policy, you're gonna be paying this policy every single month, either for a certain number of years or for the rest of your life, depending on what kind of plan you get. And so you're buying into this policy, and if you were to unexpectedly die, then life insurance is going to come in and they're going to give your family a big check. So if you buy a $1 million policy, they're going to come in and they're going to give your family a $1 million check. Personally, I look at life insurance the way I look at car insurance. It's there as tragedy protection. It's risk management. It is not something that you want your family to rely on to survive after you. Your goal should be to invest your money and build wealth with your own assets. And if something tragic were to happen along the way, that's when life insurance comes in as that bridge and they can come and take care of your family, because you never want to run into a situation where somebody who is a breadwinner of a family tragically dies. And now this family already has to deal with this heartbreaking loss, but now they don't have a way to pay their bills. And what I think a lot of people overlook is how affordable life insurance can be. Like if you are a healthy 30-year-old male, you can get a $1 million life insurance plan for something like $30 a month. So you pay $30 a month, and if you were to tragically die during the term of this life insurance plan, then the life insurance policy will kick in and they will pay your family $1 million. There are two things certain in life: death and taxes. If you are making money, you need to pay taxes. And even if you think you're not making enough money to really pay taxes, you still need to file a tax return, because that's just the way the government works, okay? If you do not pay your taxes or you do not file your taxes, it is a big issue. You can go to jail for doing that, so do not play that game, okay? If you are making any sort of money, you have to file a tax return. If the money you're making is just coming from your job, then you can use one of those online tax filing softwares. They are very cheap to use, and a lot of times they might even be free, and they will walk you through all the different deductions and exemptions and credits that you can get. That way you can pay the least amount of money in taxes. So if you have just a simple tax return where you're just making money from your job, then use one of those online things, because that's going to be the most cost-effective ways to go. If you get a little bit more sophisticated, like now you're investing in real estate or you have other businesses that you're a part of, that's when you really want to start looking about getting your own accountant, because an accountant's job is now to manage your bookkeeping and check the numbers and see how the numbers are going, and then find you the most deductions that you can get. That way you can pay the least amount of money in taxes. When I was in law school, I spent a lot of time and I took a lot of classes on taxes. The tax code is thousands of pages long. It is not worth your time to try to find every single deduction. Hire a professional, that way you can save the most money on taxes, and that way you don't have to deal with the headache. Now, if you get to this point and you ask yourself, wow, if only there was a way to fast track my way to wealth, well, there is. Once you know how to use your money, which is all the things that we just talked about, then you can fuel the system by adding more money into the system by earning more money. The simplest way to make an extra $5,000 to $10,000 a year is just by asking your boss for a raise. So if you think you've been doing a good job and you've been working at your place for a while, then you can go to your boss and demonstrate the value that you provide and show how you're gonna make the company more money and show how you can take on more responsibility, and in exchange, you can ask for a raise. That way you can make more money. For some of you, that's not gonna be an option because you can't stand your job or you don't want to put any more effort into your job or whatever. So you might want to consider getting a side hustle. So there's a lot of different ways you can do this. If you are really a big fan of the internet, you can become a virtual assistant. You can be a freelancer. You can do design work. There's a lot of things that you can do on the internet to make extra cash, either by doing something, creating something yourself, or by creating services and offering these services to other businesses that need them. The advantage with this is you can do these side hustles usually on your own schedule and on your own time and wherever you want. But the downfall is it takes more effort to get started. Like if you get this raise, then you just keep doing what you're doing and you're already making this more money. With a side hustle, you have to go out and really earn this money, so it can take you weeks or months or maybe even a year to start making money, depending on your effort and depending on how good you are at what you do. And if that's not good enough, then you can go out and you can consider starting your own business, or you can consider investing in somebody who's starting a business. So starting a business obviously has the most risk because the majority of small businesses fail. I can tell you from firsthand experience that starting a business is hard work, and you're not gonna see the returns that you want immediately. It takes years to really get any return out of starting your own business, if you get any return. But if you feel like you have the entrepreneurship bug and you really wanna be a business owner, then this is an option for you, and you really just gotta go out there and start, and this can give you the opportunity to earn more money, but is not guaranteed. And finally, number 10, check yourself. Kind of like what we hinted at in the beginning of this video, where you took out a piece of paper and you looked at how much money you had coming in and you looked at where all the money was going out. You need to make sure you keep doing that every single month, because you want to make sure that your money is staying on track. This is not something that you can just do once and then hope for the best. Being wealthy and building a financially healthy lifestyle is a lifestyle. It's something that you have to do forever. Every single month, pull out a piece of paper, look at how much money you had coming in, look at how much money you had going out, and compare it to your goals. When something goes out of whack in your finances, it can mess everything up. Like in 2019, Americans paid something like $11 billion in overdraft fees. That's money that Americans didn't have because they spent money when they had no more money in their bank account. You need to be the CFO, the chief financial officer of your finances. So see how much money came in and see how much money came out, and make sure everything is adding up.